Here's the New Cold War podcast with Edward Lucas.
Donald Trump has dumped the Kurds, America's staunchest allies in the war against Islamist terror. In my weekly column for the London Times in October 2019, I asked what that betrayal means for US allies elsewhere. Perhaps the Kurds should have named the road to Raqqa Trump Highway, or maybe translated the art of the deal into Kurdish. Sycophancy certainly seems to have worked for Poland, which is basking almost alone among American allies in a favourable gaze from Washington. Soon, 5,500 US troops will be posted to Poland, including to a base which the Polish authorities cannily nicknamed Fort Trump. Flattery, not loyalty, is the main currency now for America's friends. Past sacrifice counts for nothing. The mainly Kurdish Syrian Defence Forces lost around 10,000 lives battling Islamic State, alongside US forces who took just 5 fatal casualties. But President Trump's indifferent to that. Instead, he issued a near-nonsensical rebuke that the Kurds didn't take part in the Normandy landings. In fact, 8,000 Kurdish troops fought on the Allied side in the Second World War, chiefly helping foil Nazi plans in Iraq, and some later served in Albania, Greece and Italy. Nor does strategic calculation matter much to this administration. The handful of US forces protecting the Kurdish-controlled zone in northern Syria were cheap and cost-effective. Their presence didn't solve the country's problems, but they stopped a bad situation getting worse. Even Donald Trump's staunchest defenders struggle to justify the abrupt withdrawal of those troops, announced off the cuff in a late-night, ill-prepared phone call with the Turkish president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan. In the words of the wartime propaganda poster, careless talk costs lives. It should hang in the Oval Office. To be fair, pulling out from endless foreign wars was a campaign promise. Mr. Trump assures his supporters that America has notched up a win, but with the Syrian Kurdish militia, once America's staunchest and most effective regional ally, now battered by Turkey and in retreat, Islamic State and Al-Qaeda have a chance to regroup. Americans may forget the jihadists, but the jihadists have not forgotten America. Worse, friends and foes alike will not forget the betrayal of the Kurds. Why should any ally now trust the US? And why should Russia hold back in its war in Ukraine or in menacing other small countries on its borders? Non-NATO Finland and Sweden, or NATO members like Estonia, Latvia and Lithuania? It doesn't help if you've shed blood in US-led wars in faraway Afghanistan or Iraq. The president isn't interested in what you did for him lately. Now is what matters. An optimistic take on this is that Mr. Trump will not make the same mistake twice. Many Republican national security hawks are aghast privately, and even publicly, at his reckless behaviour. With the impeachment battle looming, the president can ill afford to lose allies on Capitol Hill by mistreating allies abroad. But his increasingly chaotic administration does seem rather good at repeating its mistakes. A more cynical view is that the Kurds were inherently expendable. US interest in the Middle East is waning thanks to fracking and the shale boom, which has cut America's dependence on imported energy. Counter-terrorism has dropped down the agenda. Great power competition is now the centrepiece of the administration's national security strategy. Despite the president's strange personal ties with Vladimir Putin, his administration is still hawkish towards the Kremlin, and so too, emphatically, is Congress. The 30 million Kurds, stateless, isolated, lightly armed, and tied to the terrorist PKK, are not in the same category as real countries. Moreover, the US involvement in Syria was always half-hearted and temporary. It bears no comparison with the solemn, decades-old treaty obligations that bind the countries of NATO. Well, that too could be comforting, were it not for the bruising treatment the president has already meted out to Japan and South Korea, two vital, long-standing US allies in East Asia. Mr. Trump's erratic personal diplomacy with the North Korean and Chinese leaders has repeatedly blindsided and humiliated decision-makers in Tokyo and Seoul. Europeans could easily be next. The main point for all countries that rely on American security guarantees is that outsourcing defence to the US is costlier and chancier than it seems. Mr. Trump's behaviour may be reckless and his words incoherent, but he reflects heartfelt dissatisfaction with the country's thankless role as world policeman. American taxpayers have long and rightly wondered why Europe, bigger and richer than the US, cannot foot the bills and take the risks involved in dealing with crises in its own neighbourhood. The answer, of course, is that US engagement props up a world security order that is hugely to America's benefit. But US politicians have for too long failed to make that case, while the countries that benefit from the US security subsidy have indulged in anti-Americanism and cheese pairing. Now comes the reckoning. The US has to deal with a world in which it's abdicated leadership, perhaps irrevocably. Allies, coddled for too long, will have to raise their defence spending, their appetite for risk, and their readiness for innovative, taboo-busting cooperation. Anyone who thinks Brexit will allow Britain to cut free from involvement in European foreign security and defence policy has another thing coming. As US involvement and dependability shrink, European countries have no choice but to do more and to do it more together. Money still talks. Poland has just offered $2 billion towards the costs of the new US presence there. Mr. Trump has just deployed nearly 2,000 US troops to Saudi Arabia, gleefully pointing out that the kingdom has met his request to pay us for everything we're doing. Thomas Hendrik Ilves, the former president of ultra-loyal Estonia, wonders if the Pentagon will now publish a price list. At least we know where we stand, he says. For allies, their relationship with the United States now depends on the answers to three flinty questions. Does the US have a vital interest at stake? More unpleasantly, what are the direct benefits, business, flattery, family, of this for Mr. Trump? And most importantly, will any of this count in a real crisis? Those who complain at this should count their blessings. The Kurds would love to have our difficulties. This is Edward Lucas with the New Cold War podcast. You can find more about me, my books and other publications at edwardlucas.com or follow me on Twitter at Edward Lucas.
This has been a Homegrown Media production. For more on the New Cold War, please visit edwardlucas.com.